Welcome to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis is all about our city as an urban place, including its neighborhoods, buildings, pathways, and parks, as well as the people who shape it. Join us each week as community leaders and commentators talk with me about our shared built environment. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. This week, I've got Sabrina Norwood, who is the Executive Director of Young Actors Guild, a really fabulous arts facility that we're going to be hearing about today. Sabrina, I think I met you actually several years ago through my work with High Ground and have known you off and on, interacted with you off and on over the last couple of years, but I think it's not since before COVID. So it's nice. It's nice seeing you again, even if it's just on the screen.
Yes. Good seeing
you.
So
you've got a really fabulous new facility on Lamar Avenue called the Harriet Center. And that's mainly what I want to talk about, but mm-hmm. We can't talk about that without talking about what Young Actors Guild is. You guys have been around a long time. I think you were there from day one. And so tell me a little bit about what Young Actors Guild does, what it is, and the history, why it got started, what the original vision was. That's about seven questions, but.
Absolutely. I definitely can. And so glad that you asked. And first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be on so that we can talk about the amazing work that we're able to do here with Young Actors Guild. Young Actors Guild was founded in 1991 by our artistic director and founder, Miss Christy Chandler. And she had a vision to impact, to inspire, and engage youth in the arts. And she's been able to do that to the tune of 32,000 young people here in the city of Memphis. And honestly, she saw a need. She saw a need for young people to be able to engage. She saw a need for arts being taken out of the schools, and she wanted to be able to meet a need. And the organization was all about bringing the arts back to the community, which a lot of people will see our organization and you'll see us. We're in South Memphis. We're in Orange Mound. We're in North Memphis, and we're intentionally in the community. Our organization provides young people an opportunity to hone the natural talents that they have. And so we literally come in and help to refine the work that they do. And that's in the role of singing, acting, dancing, set design, costuming, hair, makeup, lighting design, the full gamut of the arts. And so it's been amazing to watch the organization. I've been a part of the organization Wow. for about 14 years. And so I've had an opportunity to watch us grow from being a smaller organization to kind of growing to where we are now. Many of our young people in our organization have had the opportunity to go to So You Think You Can Dance, The Voice, American Idol, BET Sunday's Best, Debbie Allen's Dance Academy, and the list goes on and on. And we're super excited that currently we have two students that are on Broadway. One, his name is Jalen, and he's traveling right now as Little Simba with Lion King, and he actually stopped by our campsite today to see us. And then also we have another Jalen that's traveling with Ain't Too Proud, and he's
Eddie.
Oh,
wow. That must make you so proud when that happens.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it really, truly makes us really happy, and I'm super excited that young people get to see other young people that have come from Memphis and come from our programming to see them.
So
do really
let me
great
ask you
things.
Something, and I guess I didn't know this. So I was a kid who, you know, the theater kid who was in the musicals, and I played clarinet in the band and in the chorus, and I'm not particularly good at any of those things, but I love the arts, and it was a small school. And so are your programs, you know, competitive and designed to prepare people for careers, or is it kind of an all comers for people that want to be involved in the arts?
So we are all comers. There's no requirement in terms of having to have a background in the arts or even have an interest in the arts. We Right, or talent. Exactly. We get many students that have two left feet. And when they leave our program, these children are doing phenomenal things. For us, the arts is the opportunity to get young people through the door. And from the arts being that opportunity, then they're able to gain so much more in terms of life skills, character development. We do a lot of team building, so we're very intensive in that. College and career readiness. And so a lot of people don't know that Young Actors Guild, we not only put on shows, but our job here is to prepare young people for life, and whatever that next phase is, whether they're going into post-secondary education or creating a trade or becoming an entrepreneur. And we gladly celebrate a 98% graduation rate from college. And so that means the arts.
Well, no question. You don't need to ask. I've always been convinced about that. So is it a, I know you have summer camps that are going on right now, but during the year, is it after school programs on Saturday? Do people sign up for things they're interested in, or is there kind of a, people do a little bit of everything?
Yeah, so people do a little bit of everything. So we have year-round programming in the form of Performing Arts Academy, and we also have after-school programming as well. And so all of our programming provides young people an opportunity to experience the arts across the board. Essentially, we want to expose them to all areas of the arts. And definitely it's important for us to create opportunities for children to become triple threats. And triple threats in the art, the big three, you have to be able to sing, act, and dance. And so we provide those opportunities, but those aren't the only opportunities. Many people who come to our shows, we have phenomenal speakers. And so we train students in spoken word, and they are able to provide opportunities for them to design our lighting and to be our sound engineers and things of that nature. And so there are many avenues. Miss Christy actually has a student assistant that sits with her, and I have a technical assistant that sits with me. And so we train students across the board.
I want to enroll right now.
You can. We would absolutely love it.
I'm sure.
And you would have a blast.
I'm sure I would. So you have moved. This is one of the exciting things about, you know, the Harriet facility is that it's your first permanent home. But you've moved around a lot and been in a lot of different places over the years. So just talk about some of the different stops. And if you're in other places now, in addition to your new facility, tell me about those.
Absolutely. So outside of our new facility, we have an art house that's called the Creative Arts House. And it is also a facility that's in North Memphis. And it's an opportunity for students to gain arts resources. So if they're interested in going into the arts, we have all types of resources in terms of college resources, local arts resources for students to get engaged in, if there are camps, if there are workshops. And then also we create opportunities for community organizations to utilize that facility for board meetings and community events there as well. And we also have a location in South Haven, Mississippi. South Haven, Mississippi houses our programming for ages 8 to 11 year olds. And we meet there. That training is really specific in terms of providing performing arts. So that's the singing, acting, and dancing at that location. And then we partner with several local schools and churches across the city so that we can provide programming to children across the city. We have we've intentionally been in East Memphis. Oftentimes, especially before this facility that we're currently in, because East Memphis is kind of like a hub. And so everybody kind of, if you're going to work or leaving, you have to drive through that area. And so oftentimes it's most convenient for parents who are dropping off. And so we've had the opportunity to partner with Anointed Temple of Praise Church and Ridgeway Church and New Direction Church. And so we've been a little bit of everywhere in terms of that. It was important for us to have a space that was large enough to service the children that that we wanted to serve. And so We are so grateful that they opened their doors to us and our children, and we turned their sanctuaries into playgrounds, and it was amazing. But we were able to do it because the vision was always there. The vision has always been for us to have a home.
Well, yeah, talk about that, about how you, after many years of having that vision, and not having like a permanent headquarters, what was the process like to, you know, to realize that? How did the, you know, you're in a former firehouse, and I want to, in a minute, yeah. I want to talk about, you know, the whole renovation process, but how did that come about? How did you realize that vision of getting a permanent home?
So the vision for the permanent home has been there, honestly, I feel like since our existence. Ms. Christy started the organization, actually funding the organization out of her pocket. And one day we had the great idea that, hey, it's time to go bigger. It's time to be able to serve more children. And we need a home. We were oftentimes when you're leasing spaces, sometimes we lease spaces that had other groups. And so we had to kind of go off of their schedule. And that posed a problem in terms of the programming we wanted to be able to provide and the time and we wanted to be able to provide it. And so we started looking for opportunities for space. We ran across the city of Memphis General Services, and we found out that oftentimes they have opportunities where they can donate city spaces to be repurposed. And we went through that list, and we kind of went through several facilities, and we found the firehouse, and the firehouse seemed like home. Miss Christy is a person who can look at the most dilapidated place, but she sees so much vision there. And she saw it here. She said, oh, that's it. That's the one. And so we continued along the process of going before city council and presenting what the vision would look like for the facility. And we went before the mayor and his team, and it was approved. And we were able to secure the space for $1.
I was looking at the pictures online of the old, well, the firehouse in its original condition. And it didn't look bad. It wasn't like one of those, like didn't look like it was one of those ancient buildings with the roof falling in. It looked like it was, you know, in decent shape.
I remember one day we came over, there was a raccoon coming out of the side of the building. And we were all like, you go in first. No, you like,
do you know what year the building was built?
So the building was built in 1956. So not too old, but it was definitely old. We had to come in and definitely put some elbow grease in to make it work.
So so I'm guessing a firehouse is, you know, some big open spaces because you've got spots for fire trucks and stuff. So how did you,
right?
How did you reconfigure? Really, I realize we're on the radio, and so there's a lot of pictures. But how did you configure the space and convert that space into? Is it like studios and performance space, or what's inside?
Yeah. So honestly, we sat down initially. We had some amazing architects at Sil Tucker Architects, Mr. Oneself and Mr. Kobe Mitchell, their whole team, Mario. I mean, they had a phenomenal team that sat down with us. And we identified what was important for us. And a couple of the key things that were important for us, number one, was multi-purpose space. When working with children, you kind of have to have flex space in order to create different opportunities for programming. And so that was really huge for us. Number two, children eat. And so it was important for us to have some type of kitchenette in the space. And number three, what was important was for us to have an eclectic feel within the space. And so we were able to go in, and we wanted to be able to also have opportunities to have shows. And so we said, wow, the engine room where they would pull the engine in, that would be an awesome creative space to have performances. And so we went in and put a raised floor in there so that we would be able to have, it would dual as a performance space and as a classroom type space. And so we have dance classes in there. We had yoga in
there. How many people can be seated for a performance?
150. It's really comfortable. There's really no bad seat in the house. And so we were happy about that because it provided us a space. We were spending a lot of money on venues. And to be able to have our own venue to do some of our smaller pieces, that allowed us an opportunity to add more revenue into our organization so that we can service more children. And so that was a huge benefit.
That's amazing. Well, so one of the things I was reading about some of the other publicity that came out when you had your grand opening. And one of the things was, the unusual fundraising you did for the interior work, which you did first. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So we did some really grassroots fundraising. And when I say grassroots, we raised $30,000 in 3 days from selling popcorn. And that was one of the biggest things. And then also we worked at the FedEx Forum as a nonprofit, and we ran concessions. We had 3 booths at that time, and we worked every event they had, from University of Memphis games, Memphis Grizzly games, to concerts. We literally worked everything so that we could raise the money. It was really important for us to go into the project debt-free. We had the option, of course, to get a loan, but we didn't really want that to be an option. We felt like we could do it just with the support of community. And so we created those avenues. The community got behind us. And I mean, it was really amazing. And so those opportunities for fundraising, we still do them today because they
work. That's really awesome about ending up debt free, because it didn't sound like it sounded like you were able to keep the budget relatively modest anyway, which I'm sure helped. But that's just, it's really shoe leather. It's shoe leather fundraising.
Yeah, it was. It was. The interior, we spent upwards of $300,000. For the interior, and that was gutting all electric. We gutted the plumbing, new HVACs, everything was rewired, new roof, new, you know, all of those things. And so those things were very important to us so that while we were in our first years kind of creating opportunities for revenue and building up revenue so that we can continue programming, we did not want to have to worry about, oh gosh, we have a plumbing issue, or oh, we have an electric issue. We really wanted to be
safe. So you could use the facility as soon as that was done, and while you were continuing to raise money for the exterior was a separate. Did you have help from philanthropy with that, or
so that one, the exterior, we actually were able to get some grants for, and so I definitely want to thank Memphis Music Initiative for their support, Arts Memphis for their support in the exterior. Also Memphis Realtors Association, the Neighborhood Watch of the City of Memphis. And so I have a list of supporters that really helped to bring the exterior into fruition for us.
That's amazing. So the name of the facility is the Harriet Center. So tell, assuming it's named after Harriet Tubman, but tell me what prompted that that name.
So it was prompted because Harriet Tubman, of course, was an abolitionist that led slaves to freedom by way of the Underground Railroad. And so we named the facility the Harriet because we consider the Harriet the Underground Railroad for young people, a space that would provide youth freedom through the arts. And that was the purpose of the Harriet. And so far, it has been a success in being able to do that. Our doors are always open, and we have the opportunity to service young people that the arts has an opportunity to truly change their lives. And so we're so grateful for that.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. And I'm talking to Sabrina Norwood, who's the executive director of Young Actors Guild. And we're talking about Young Actors Guild and also their new facility. We're going to talk about the location in a minute on Lamar Avenue called the Harriet and how that came to be. So let's talk about the, unfortunately, I haven't been, even though you've invited me, I have not been to the area yet. I feel awful about that. But having said that, I drive by it frequently. In fact, I drove by it a couple of weeks ago and I thought, you know, I probably could just stop in and say hi. But then I thought, oh, people would be busy and then you'd be dropping things to give me a tour. And anyway, but I do drive by there all the time and just think about how amazing it is. So, but you're right there, you know, kind of on the, I would say on the outskirts of Orange Mound. So, and we talked a little bit about this when you were talking about the different locations, but talk a little bit about, you know, how important it is for these arts access at the neighborhood level.
Yeah. So, for the arts to be accessible to, communities, it's really important because young people don't have transportation. Oftentimes, especially with arts programming, that's a barrier. Transportation becomes a barrier. Finances become a barrier. And so when you have opportunities to put the arts right where the children are, it provides a really, really awesome connection with the community and with the arts organization. The community changes. When arts organizations are in communities, you'll see behavior changes. If there was crime, you'll see that start to change because young people take pride in things that put into them. And so we've had the amazing opportunity being here on the cusp of Orange Mound and the Bethel Grove community. It gives us access to phenomenal schools, Bethel Grove, Cherokee. We have awesome connection with them. And so we've been able to service young people here. They're able to either walk over to the Harriet or just to come down. And so it's been really great.
So does I know sometimes organizations that get known for sending people to Broadway and to The Voice, you know, they attract talent from all over, regardless of, you know, income mm-hmm. or anything like that. And so how do you balance attracting them, welcoming them with the mission of serving, you know, lower income kids in the community? That seems like that might be a tension point at sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, for us, that's not a huge thing for us because we want to be able to service all children. And so we feel like it's important that we are able to teach our young people to learn to work with different personalities, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. I feel like we're very diverse in terms of having homes that are, we have students that are from in foster care. We have students that are in single parent homes. We have students that live with grandparents. We have students that are in double parent homes. And so across the board, we're very, very diverse. But I think the thing that ties everything together is the young people all share one love and one passion, and that's a love for the arts. And when they're able to see the impact that the arts has on them and has on their life, then that trajectory changes. And that way I'm not looking at the person next to me. I'm looking at what we can do as a whole. And so I'm so happy that you brought that to the forefront because that is something that we're often asked. But honestly, it's you could walk in our building today and you wouldn't be able to tell a difference.
Well, I've just heard that from other arts organizations. And believe me, it's not a criticism, but that people start out serving a community, but the quality of the programming is so good that, you know, you've got private school right. kids coming in because they want that yeah. access to those programs, which, great. I mean, the more the merrier, but But I've just heard that right. happens from time to time. And so the need to sort of balance those two. So the people who are, people aren't crowding out the people who need the services the most, the programs the most.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So our doors, in terms of students that really need it, and honestly, I would say that students that really need it, especially in terms of coming out of the pandemic, it's all students. It's students from private schools. It's students from city schools. It's students that are homeschool across the board. All those, when they had, it really affected students and young people not being able to have that connection.
Yeah.
And so they all need it. Mentally, it played a huge part. And the arts has been a part of them being able to cope and dance away the negativity that they oftentimes deal with. And so, yeah, it has all really changed. I think the trajectory of the pandemic really has changed the scope for many.
Yeah, I mean, you're making an excellent point that the pandemic hurt youth regardless of their economic circumstances. Yes. People were isolated,
yes,
away from their friends, sometimes away from creative outlets, and
yes,
and that everyone needs to come back and rebuild together.
Exactly. And even though children are resilient, oftentimes they look forward to that connectedness that they feel when they're in programming, when they're in school. They look forward to those friends, and it affects you when you don't have that. And so being able to create an opportunity for all young people to come into a space and really grow and develop has been amazing.
I
and
bet.
It's so rewarding.
So what, what do you want? I mean, at the very end, I want you to give your website and so people can reach out to you and send you some giant checks. Or just find out about future event. But what else do you want people to know about Young Actors Guild that we haven't talked about?
Really, I want them to know that Young Actors Guild certainly is an organization that was created to provide young people across the board opportunities. Many people think that those opportunities only lie within the arts, but it's for the child that's shy that needs to come out of the box. It's for the child that's struggling academically that needs to increase their grades. It's for the child that's getting in trouble every day and needs an outlet and needs structure and discipline. I think across the board, and I think many people oftentimes may think that, oh, we're just in the arts box, but we're in the box of creating and changing the lives of young people across the board. And so I feel like that's really important for people to know. I mean, we have a summer camp of children right now that's servicing upwards of 90 children. And all of the children are different. Some of them are artsy. Some of them are more sports oriented. But we've been able to create a really solid atmosphere and that's not them operating in silos. They're operating together. They're working together to accomplish goals. And it's amazing to see. It really is. We had regions out today to teach financial literacy, and they were absolutely amazed at the questions. Oftentimes people think artsy kids are not as astute, but they are. They're very aware. And so, yeah, it's been amazing to have the opportunity to serve
the
young people that we do.
I mean, you do so much more than arts. I mean, obviously, the academic achievements are impressive, but also just, and we talked about this earlier, like exposure to the arts just makes your whole life better, whether you're good at the art or not. I mean, I grew up being exposed, like I said, doing all that for fun. My parents exposed me to the arts, and you know, that just, it enhances your life in so many ways. And the arts itself is
just a
vehicle on some, I mean, it's something wonderful in and of itself, but it's also a vehicle to, you know, to a healthy and happy life.
It is. And we try to make sure that our young people know and realize that exposing them to shows and exposing them to dance is so freeing. We were able to meditate with our group. We had a group that came in to do yoga and meditate. It's important. Arts helps to ground you, but it also provides the extra sauce and that you need in order to yep. make your life flavorful. And so that's what the arts does for our young people. They're excited about it, and it gets you excited about life. And I tell them all the time, whether they go into an arts career, every corporate world needs a creative. You need someone to be able to create your marketing plans, you know, to logistically put things together and make them colorful and beautiful. And that's what
also
artists
collaborating do. So, yeah. on a theater production teaches you others, even if you work as a bookkeeper, it teaches you other skills,
yes.
collaboration, planning, execution, all those other skills that are helpful in any career.
It does. Absolutely. We even have our students do spreadsheets to create show grids. And so just across the board, they're able to look at budgeting. We give them budgets for the production so that they can help create those, you know, and sponsor the things that we need. And so we try to show them the full aspect of theater and of the arts and everything that it can provide and add to your life, and how your academics is important. It all goes hand in hand with the arts. And so it's been amazing to be able to show them that and open
yeah,
that world
I
up
bet.
To them.
That's super exciting. So how can people get in touch with you?
So certainly people can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as Young Actors Guild Memphis. And so our website, they can follow us there, www.yagmemphis.com. There's an opportunity if they would like to support the work that we're doing. There's certainly an opportunity for them to donate there. Our mailing address is 619 North 7th Street, Memphis, Tennessee, 38106. And so that's an amazing opportunity for them to support our organization. But also on that website, there's a contact link. Please feel free to contact us. Leave your contact information on that link. We would love to follow up with you. We're always looking for opportunities for young people. We're always looking for volunteers. We're truly volunteer-based and 100% student-led. And so anyone who has a skill set that they would like to share with young people, we would absolutely love for them to be a part of the amazing
okay.
work
I'm
that
sold.
We do.
This is great. Okay. So you've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I've been talking to Sabrina Norwood, who's the executive director of Young Actors Guild. We've been talking about their amazing new facility on Lamar, the Harriet, along with all of their other programs, the great work they do. So Sabrina, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes. Thank you so okay. much for having me.
You've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis airs every Monday at 1, so please tune in again next week. You can listen to past programs on our program page at wyxr.org or on memphismetropolis.com. You can also follow us and send feedback on social media. Now, stay tuned for Memphis Undercover with Nancy. Thank you.